When you think of Kenneth White, you think of movement. Movement of body out from the urban context, nomad-like, into the hidden ways, the uncut paths. Into the open world of earth, wind and sea, tree, bird and rock. Movement of mind out from the neuroses of the city and the motorway of Western civilization, as he puts it, into the freely moving tracks of the intellect, which, like the extraordinary contours of his native west coast of Scotland, has both direction and anarchic movement of line. Movement of body and mind, then, where the separation between the two is dissolved as landscape and mindscape become each other. The key factor, then, is not principle nor faith, as in so much conventional Western thought and practice, but a concept more readily identified with the East, energy. An energy reflected in the longer poems where nomadic figures wander through their worlds seeking out a coherence and a clarity. Hölderlin in Bordeaux, Gauguin in Brittany, Brandon's Last Voyage. And in the shorter diamond poems where energy concentrates itself in keen, sharp moments of light. An energy where clarity of perception opens out the world anew. So, from Kenneth White's first energy field, the Circle of Solitude, which is the necessary centre of his life and work, radiate two circles of expression. One is in written form, waybooks, essays and poetry. Another in the social form of teaching, at the Sorbonne presently, but also in regular and widespread lectures and readings. Recently, his social activities have expanded into the International Institute of Geopoetics, which brings together thinkers from all disciplines to explore the founding of a genuinely postmodern, that is to say, post-rationalist, post-humanist culture, grounded in the fundamental unity from which all our diverse movements begin, the Earth. So what is this scion of Walt Whitman's Gang of the Cosmos doing within the covers of a Scottish Macca's recording? Well, leaving aside for a moment the outward thrust of the intellects of, say, Hugh McDermott or Thomas Urquhart, let us turn to Kenneth White's own grounding, remembering the accent Charles Olson put with this word on that original place from which movement takes its impetus. Kenneth White's original landscape, and the visible and audible source of all his work, was the territory around the village of Fairley on the west coast of Scotland, to where his family moved from the Gorbals when the future poet was 3 years old. Apparently, his father was anxious that his children be in contact with the natural world. How remarkably prescient that move was. The woods, moor and hills round that village, and from there to the coastline, sea and islands of the Atlantic, these landscapes and seascapes he not only learned to explore, but he also came to perceive himself as being part of them. And with this identity comes an awareness of how the presence of a tree, the textures of a stone, the contours of a coastline, the trajectory of a bird's flight, how these things mirror the movement of the mind, or how, perhaps, the mind mirrors their movement, and how, therefore, the form of that mind's expression, poetry, must also partake of these natural movements. From that original ground, counterpointed, of course, with a deeply troubling sense of the alienation inspired by the urban hell of Glasgow, Kenneth White moved out into an exploration of the material world and the world of ideas. His formidable capacity for reading in philosophy, anthropology, poetics and the sciences confirmed this intense awareness of a fundamental malaise in Western culture, but also suggested other possibilities and pointed to other figures who had moved in more enlightening ways. Some of those figures had left their traces in the West Coast area in names such as Kilbrennan Sound, evoking Brandon and all those Scottish-Irish thinkers and teachers who wandered throughout Europe. The knowledge and practice they took with them constituted a genuine enlightenment, far removed from the restrictive, static influence of centres such as Rome. Pelagius, John Scott Erigena, Michael Scott, Duns Scotus, like these literary philosophical ancestors, Kenneth White, whose energies and literary momentum were constrained by the staid cultural intellectual environment of early 60s Britain, left for France, where he still lives. There followed a 9-year period of silence and solitude, reading and writing, piling up manuscripts while suffering the ups and downs of a university teaching career, if career is the right word, at the mercy of those for whom live, radical thought and practice sit uncomfortably with the pursuit of conventional cultural values. His literary travels through the poetries and philosophies of the North European belt, stretching across into Asia, down to India, Taoist China, the Zen of Japan, and further into the Eskimo and Amerindian cultures which crossed into the American continent via the Bering Strait, where, eventually to be complemented by journeys to these places, which form the inspiration behind his waybooks and much of his poetry. Finally, the accumulated manuscripts began to be published in France in 1976, and they now furnish a prodigious and prestigious list. Since 1989, Kenneth White's work has been available again in the original landscape from which it derives so much. Because this return has rekindled the argument about what poetry is or ought to be, perhaps one or two words about form might be helpful. The poems spring from some pretty radical sources, from one who has, as outlined already, not just felt but explored and identified the malaise deep in the heart of Western tradition, from one also who has sought to go beyond that malaise by exploring the thought and expression of other parts of the world, which offer alternative ways of perceiving things. This, inevitably, produces what will be for many a different kind of poetry. Not a poetry wrapped up in metaphors or playing clever games with language, but with little to say. Nor a poetry which attempts to pull you into the personal and social concerns of the writer. Such poetries impose visions on the reader. The poems point back in on themselves. Kenneth White's poetry is not of this sort. Rather, it opens up a space, offering the reader, or listener, a way into a perception of the world. It is accessible poetry. The depths and heights which it penetrates are for the reader to move into. Its rhythms have a natural, elemental voice, and the music of vowel and consonant sound out the images of water, stone, tree, wind, and bird which permeate these poems. To the relationship with Celtic nature poetry and Eastern writing, as well as the diverse oral cultures of Northern Europe and Asia mentioned earlier, can be added, coming into our own time, the example of McDermott's poetry of facts, but given more composition, and the American line emanating from Thoreau and Whitman, leading to Pound and Carlos Williams. Always seeking in these wider sources, though, that sense of a world perceived as if for the first time. The influences may be eclectic, but the poetry fashioned by Kenneth White is uniquely his, because he distills these influences and, most importantly, develops them. So much so, in fact, that he has been described in France as the first coherent expression of postmodernity. Post-1707 Scottish cultural tradition has been taken up with perceptions of splits and alienation, with seeing itself in terms of not being this or that, usually English. In contrast, Kenneth White has sought out unities and the diverse possibilities of being which arise from these unities. So much of that Scottish tradition has been submerged in a narrow, ideological view of history. In contrast, White points to the liberating possibilities of geography and the densification of geography, which is geopoetics. If a paltry view of time has been like a shackle round the feet of Scottish self-perception, then Kenneth White, in taking a larger view of time, back to the point where it becomes space, breaks off these shackles in a great, free gesture, whose voice is poetry. Energy, expression, form, and the movement ever continuing, like a walk along the shore.